What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show and Aftershocks TV. And before we get to this next episode, I just wanted to remind you that I have a book out there called And Other Things I Should Not Say. It is about the absolute debauchery that raged in my world when I was stationed overseas in Korea, as well as a little bit of Arizona and some basic training and AIT stories as well. It's kind of my military book. It is wild, friends. I'm going to tell you now, it is definitely not biblical reading. So make sure you go over and get it. It's on Amazon.com or my website, Chris Aiken Books, and Other Things I Should Not Say. Get it now if you're bold enough to dare, all right? All right, here's the episode you actually came to see.
It's Beyond Fear, featuring Tim Ripper Owens on lead vocal with The Scream Machine. And just before that, we heard Primal Fear with Bad Guys Wear Black.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a triple shot of Judas Priestish style music.
Nothing wrong with that. That's nope. Always good.
Yeah. So we gave you hair metal in 1 hour, and we gave you some classic heavy metal in another hour.
That's right.
So for whiny bitches like PC in the chat room, fuck you.
Well, that's one way to put it. Definitely agree.
So there you are.
Too funny.
Yep. All right. Do you have a subject?
Sure. I, as you're well aware, one of our recurring topics on the show for the last, I would say, several years now, at least three, I would say, has been TV and movies. Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
And lately, more recently, last 3-4 months, a recurring topic has been these old dudes that cannot adjust to the movie business changing.
Okay.
And we now have another one.
All right.
And this is a big name, but he comes off like everybody else, a big fucking idiot.
Okay.
That, of course, would be Martin Scorsese.
Wow. Well, see, I don't know how he can come off as an idiot, especially since he made a for Netflix only Goodfellas.
Yeah.
You know, The Irishman, you know, basically pick up where the Goodfellas left off, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. he, even though he did that, he's still whining and complaining about it.
I don't know why. I mean, he kind of embraced that whole thing by actually having the Netflix only thing.
He'll complain about it and take the check.
Okay.
You know, and I'm sure the check for The Irishman was big.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure to have Martin Scorsese with De Niro and Pesci back together again, I'm sure Netflix paid a big check to
get, as well as Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, and Ray Romano.
Yeah,
you know, they had a bunch of big name people in it, so they paid out the ass for this movie,
of course,
and Martin certainly took his check, but now he's complaining about
all
it.
All right.
The story is Martin Scorsese criticizes streaming platforms, argues cinema is being demeaned in a new essay.
Well, that's not even up for debate. That's just fact.
What, that cinema is being demeaned?
Yes.
You think?
Well, yeah, because you know, with I mean, I was looking, and I talked about this last week. I was looking, you know, at the TVs and things that are available.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, they got 8,500 inch TVs.
Mm-hmm.
If you got that kind of you know, screen in your house that's 4K high def, you know, the best picture quality that you could possibly have,
right?
And then you got streaming services, you know, be it HBO or Amazon or Netflix or whatever, right. And you have, you know, the smart TVs with shit built into them already, or obviously if you use a Roku. You know, you get a video movie experience without having to leave the house.
a better video experience. Yeah,
exactly. And you don't have to put up with people talking in the movie and, you know, cell phones going off or people getting up out of their seats or having to go to the bathroom 10 times like a lot of women do.
Sure.
You know.
Well, I don't think he's talking about going to the theater as much as he's talking about movies themselves are being demeaned. He's saying that movies no longer have any value.
Well, they're being cheapened is what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah. And I get it. And yeah, of course they don't have the value that they did because once again, music got cheapened when the internet came up.
Right.
You know, because, you know, the only way that you could get your music was hear it on the radio.
Yeah.
See it on MTV. Or go to the music store to go buy your physical copy.
Right.
But once the internet became digital and you could go download something, yeah, it became demeaned, cheapened.
Right.
Doesn't mean as much.
This guy who's, what, a half a billionaire?
At least.
Needs to shut up.
Yeah, I agree.
He made his money. He's still making his money anytime he does something. His content, not demeaned. I'm going to say that The Irishman probably was one of Netflix's, if not Netflix's, number one movie last year.
Probably, yeah.
So his content was watched by a gazillion fucking people. Not demeaned. It didn't become nonsense. It wasn't just flipping through and you happened to stumble across The Irishman. If I remember right, we were excited. We did specials on it.
We did. We actually did a an off CMS special on it.
Yeah, with our mob guy.
Yeah, Scott Dietschy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we definitely, you can't, and maybe it was just, maybe that's why I was annoyed with this, is because this is the guy saying that it was demeaned. And it's like, fuck you, dude. You know, we were excited about your content, even more excited that it was on Netflix instead of having to go to a shitty movie theater to see it.
Well, I think, and again, I don't know what the rest of this article says, but I think if I'm reading into this correctly, I think what he's saying is it doesn't have quite the prestige it used to have.
Maybe so, but my argument is always it should have never had that.
Yeah,
but never was that valuable.
Well, but it did only because it was a limited way that you could see a movie.
See, I always look at it when the technology catches up. I don't ever look at it as cheapening the product. I think I always look at it as leveling the playing field.
Well, I agree. But again, what does leveling the playing field mean to, say, someone who's a multimillionaire?
Yeah.
What if everyone became a multimillionaire? You know, you're not so special now because everybody's a multimillionaire now.
I agree. I agree with that. And everybody shouldn't be. We should not hold this guy that knows how to say cut and action in godlike status. You make fucking movies. Okay, so you're no more important than a guy that fucking paints white lines on the highway.
Well, see, here's the thing. There are certain people who believe that they're in an elevated status to where, you know, they are above the average, you know, line painter or ditch digger or, you know, and that goes back to, you know, even something that parents say to their children who don't work very hard.
Sure.
Well, the world needs ditch diggers too.
Right.
You know, you'll never be a corporate millionaire, or you'll never be a successful doctor or whatever with your work ethic.
Right.
So you might as well just, resign yourself to digging ditches the rest of your life.
Right. Where I always have a problem with these Hollywood types, though, is they talk about this shit like it's so fucking world changing.
Well, but that's their attitude too, is that they think their opinion is so valuable. And you know, this goes back to what 2020 taught us, is that celebrities have no value.
Yeah. They have no value.
Yeah. Just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're more knowledgeable about everything than the average person out there.
Absolutely agree. And that's why this thing probably rubbed me the wrong way. But
all right, I get it.
I'll read it and then we can comment as we go. Never one to shy away from airing his opinions on cinema, and nor should he be. Martin Scorsese has penned an essay for Harper's Magazine in which he offered up a string of criticisms about streaming services.
Yet he made a lot of money off of one.
Yeah. And probably makes royalty money off of his other movies that are on him that wouldn't be getting him any money now. You know, I mean, how many copies of the Blu-ray do you think fucking Casino's doing these days? Probably not many.
No, people aren't buying physical media.
Right. So, you know, so he needs to shut up. That's my whole point. Shut up. All right, here we go. It wasn't the entire intent of the piece, which was instead about his admiration for Italian film icon Federico Fellini. But since we doubt most of you are interested in Fellini, not that you're not cultured.
See again, it's like, oh, that's so, you know, you're so pedestrian.
Exactly. We'll stick to Scorsese's thoughts on streaming. In either case, anyone who's interested in reading the whole thing is free to do so. As the 20-time Oscar winner sees it, talking Scorsese here, the art of cinema is being systematically devalued, sidelined, demeaned, and reduced to its lowest common denominator, content. That's his statement.
Well, I agree. I mean, it's going by the way of the music business, just like soon as streaming music, Napster became a thing in the early 2000s, that was the end of the road.
I'm going to argue that it's always been content. Dude, the only reason that you have fucking 10 movies being released in the same week is so that you have a choice. It's always been content. There's never been a time where there was one movie released in a week or a month or whatever, and then you sat down and watched the one movie, or maybe there was, but it's in the fucking 30s or 40s or something.
Right.
You know, in my whole lifetime, as long as I've been seeing movies probably since 75 or so, you know, there's always been 6, 8, 10 movies available at the theater. It was always content.
Yeah. It's some good, some not so good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they have the award show at the end of the year to rain praise on the one movie or the couple of movies that stood out among all the rest.
And I would argue that half of the reason that it is more throwaway now is not necessarily because it's on the streaming things, but because it's not as good.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that as well.
You know, I mean, let's face it. Every other fucking movie that we get is some version of some superhero movie
or a remake of a classic.
Yeah. It's very, very few are original titles. And if they're original titles, they'll probably do okay if they go to the theater. But in 2021, they're going to do better at home. They're just going to do better at home. The best thing that's happened to the movie business in the last 5 years is this fucking HBO Max thing where they're releasing movies, you know, to the TV, you know, that would be in the theater. I know I have not gone to the theater since I think I say it all the time. The last one I saw was Ted 2 with John. And that was what? 8 years ago or whatever.
Right.
You know, 7, 8 years ago. But I've watched two brand new movies on HBO. I watched The Little Things and I watched that whatever the one that's out right now, Judas and the Black Messiah or whatever.
I saw that pop up on the feed.
Yeah, it's pretty good actually. It's a good
movie. All right. Yeah.
I guess I was just watching content, I guess. I guess I didn't appreciate it as a good movie.
Right.
It was just content. But I would never, I'll be honest, I would never have seen Judas and the Black Messiah if my choices were to see it in a theater and then wait 4 months and then get it off of a Blu-ray or a DVD. Would have never seen it. It would have never come to me. The only way I would have seen it is if it ended up on fucking Netflix or Amazon Prime or HBO or Showtime or something. So it's just the way it is now. stop bitching about it.
Yeah, it's just the change in technology. It's just, yeah. Again, you know, I was looking at TVs again this week, and you know, I was thinking, well, I have this flat screen up here in the studio, and I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just take, you know, my flat screen from my bedroom or something, put it up here,
right,
and then get a new one down there. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I need it, it's just because I can.
Yeah.
And that's how I watch movies and TV. I don't go to theaters. I mean, I don't think I went to a theater in close to 3 years.
Right. No, I agree. And let's call Martin out on this for what it is. When he makes movies now, I'm sure he uses the technology that's made it cheaper and more efficient to make. I'm sure he's not making it the same way he made Dog Day Afternoon.
No, he's not using, you know, film.
Yeah, and then cutting it with a razor blade and taping it together or whatever the fuck they used to do back in those days. Fuck no. So shut up. If you're going to adapt to the technology to make it cheaper to make a fucking movie, don't bitch that we want to see it in a cheaper way. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
That's how the free market works.
Yeah. Make something good enough that people want to go see it. Only release it to the theater that people go see it. I probably would have gone and seen The Irishman in the movies.
I would have too.
Because it was the collaboration of those guys that I enjoy in movies.
Sure, absolutely. They made an indelible mark with Casino and Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, hey, I'm going to pick up where this all left off. These were good movies. These had good actors. They had good plot line. Mm-hmm. It was a subject material that I'm interested in, the whole gangster, you know, mob underground thing, you know. And that's cool if that's your thing, and a lot of people enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, you know, but he didn't. He's whining about it. But he does admit, as we'll read here, Scorsese goes on to admit that he's benefited from streaming services seeking content.
Yes, he did.
But that the catch-all label is being too broadly used to include all moving images.
Yeah.
As Scorsese puts it, a lot of unsophisticated things are getting tagged with that label.
So basically, it's just like, I'm being thrust into the whole same genre as these commoners who aren't as, you know, as good as me. And I'm just one of the, you know, pieces of shit floating around in the toilet with the rest of the garbage.
Yeah, you spoiled cunt. You're no better than Drew Fortier. None.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
I know that's what he's talking about.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Well, the only difference between you and a guy like Drew Fortier or our friend James Edwards, they don't have the fucking bank to do this. You do. You fucking turd. Shut up.
Turd in the toilet bowl, just like he said.
He's an ass. As recently as 15 years ago, the term content was heard only when people were discussing the cinema on a serious level. And it was contrasted with and measured against form, Scorsese writes. Then gradually, it was used more and more by the people who took over media companies, most of whom knew nothing about the history of the art form or even cared enough to think that they should. Content became a business term for all moving images. A David Lean movie, a cat video, a Super Bowl commercial, a superhero sequel, a series episode. It was linked, of course, not to the theatrical experience, but to home viewing on the streaming platforms that have come to overtake the movie-going experience, just as Amazon overtook physical stores. Yeah. Stop whining.
But it's just life, dude. Yeah. Time moves forward. I mean, this isn't the days of Clark Gable and, you know, Rita Hayworth and Betty Grable.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's not those days anymore.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah. It's over, Johnny. It's over.
This whole argument he's making is lousy.
It is. Well, he's, you know, again, he's like, Well, now everybody can get in on the game, and I'm above this. How do I separate myself from everybody else? All the Drew Fortiers in the world and the people who are, you know, content creators, you know, I'm better than them. And I'm being mixed in with the same punch bowl as the rest of these people.
Yeah. Well, you know what, to be honest, in today's world, your content's not so valuable that it stands away from that content, to be honest. It just isn't. What would you rather see? A Martin Scorsese horror film or Her Name Was Krista? And be honest, it's probably a Scorsese.
Again, I'd have to see how good it is.
But I mean, if the two were side by side on Netflix, if somebody said
to me, do you want to see this Scorsese film or do you want to see this, independent creator? I'd go with Scorsese. Scorsese,
right.
Of course.
But that's only based on past history.
Yeah, of course. He's got a proven record.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's fine. But it doesn't automatically make his content good. And that's what this fucking turd bag doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that because he's had this success, that he's due royalty status and he's not due to be compared to other people's work. He thinks he's above the comparison.
Oh yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
And that makes him a fucking snobbish cunt bag.
Well, again, we use the term jokingly on the show. Well, he's rock royalty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's cinematic royalty, apparently.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Let's see.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. I'm Martin Scorsese.
Exactly.
Dick. He shared his belief that placing all movies on the same level has created a situation in which everything is presented to the viewer on a level playing field, which sounds democratic, but isn't. It absolutely is. Scorsese continued, curating isn't undemocratic or elitist, a term that is now used so often that it's become meaningless. It's an act of generosity. You're sharing what you love and what has inspired you. Shut up. You aren't making any freebies, pal.
Right.
You didn't make The Irishman because you really wanted to make something again with those guys. You made it for coin.
Of course.
Shut up with what inspired you.
And Netflix wouldn't have backed you if you didn't have that all-star lineup. Yeah.
And you know what? You should be compared to other fucking movies, just like he should be compared to lesser movies that are still high-end professional movies. You know, like, I'm trying to think of one. Can you think of one off the top of your head, another gangster movie that's not as good as his work? Like Barton Fink. Did you ever see Barton Fink?
Yeah, of course. The Coen brothers.
Yeah. Not as good as his movies, I would argue.
I'm a big Coen brothers fan.
Yeah. All right. So maybe that's a bad example.
But regardless.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they're all in league.
Yeah. Okay. So should it not be, if Barton Fink didn't do as well as Casino and Goodfellas and his other, you know, Dog Day Afternoon, etc., should they not be listed on Netflix together and then you can choose one of them?
They should.
Okay, now if some other guy, let's say that Kevin Smith's first movie wasn't Clerks, but was a gangster movie. Should that not be compared?
Again, when you have the free market system and the freedom of choice, people don't have to watch that. If they want to, they will. If they don't, they won't.
But in the end, the movie business in general has always, and this is where he's pissing me off, this fucking turd, because it's always been that way. His damn movies, and I mean, you can, anybody that wants to look it up, feel free to do it. every movie he's ever made has come out against at least one shitty rom-com or comedy.
Right.
Because that's the history of movies. So, you know, if he was, if one of his movies came out against Last Resort or Private Resort from Johnny Depp's first movie, which was a stupid comedy, you know, should that not have happened because that director didn't have a high enough standard to be compared to Scorsese at the same theater? The fuck out of here. Elitist cunt bag. This guy's, he's pissing me off and it sucks because I love his movies.
Yeah, well, I get it. But you know, the thing is when you deal with these Hollywood types, mm-hmm. they all come off as, you know, they're the holier than thou. Yeah. I'm so-and-so. Don't you know who I am? Mm-hmm. You know, I know better. I'm elevated. So treat me as such. Here, kiss my ring.
Right. Yeah, he's just full of shit. Let's see. He also wondered if further viewing is suggested by algorithms based on what you've already seen, and the suggestions are based only on subject matter or genre, then what does that do for the art of cinema? It makes it a business like it is, dickhead. It makes the decisions on where to spend money to be based on fucking what people are willing to see, which is why we're getting so many goddamn superhero movies, because that's what people are watching these days. Why do I feel like the reason he's doing this is not only because of streaming, but because he's basically being aced out of his kind of movie? His kind of movie's not popular anymore.
Yeah. Again, it's the world changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it changes. The technology changes. The demographics change. The tastes change.
Right.
The trends change.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I argue up and down, and you can agree or disagree, but I'll argue all day long that The Godfather is the best movie that's ever been created.
I own them.
Yeah, I own them as well. And I even own the Coda. I actually bought the brand new Coda with the reworked version of Godfather 3, which is actually better for anybody that's curious. But my kids, I could not get them. I mean, my kids are almost 30 years old at this point, and they still haven't watched The Godfather. They won't watch it. They're just like, I'm not interested in that.
It's not my thing.
It's long and there's not a guy in a spacesuit flying around. You know, and there's no Thor in it, so they don't want to watch it.
Right.
You know, they don't, the time has changed. When I was 10, 12 years old, that was, dude, in fact, when I really got active in movies, well, like watching movies, my first love is something I don't even watch very often anymore. My first love of movies was horror. I was a huge horror fan, you know, and I grew up in the early to mid 80s.
Yeah, the Jason Myers and the
Jason, Freddy Krueger,
yeah,
Mike Myers, you know, Chucky. Halloween,
Chucky,
all those movies all came out in that era, you know, and there was all kinds of other movies that were darker and more, you know, movies like Magic, if anybody remembers Magic, you know, that was just like scary as fuck, but just a little bit darker than the kind of comedy horror that the kids all liked, you know, and I got really into horror, and I have not watched probably 5 horror movies in the last 10 years because I kind of grew away from it when it turned into a little more, I don't know, just like murder porn instead of just
gore, like Saw. Yeah,
like Saw or Hostel or whatever. You know, I just kind of got away from it. I missed the campiness of the old horror movies. And even some of the reworks, like the Rob Zombie movies, not as good. You know, they don't have the campiness to them. They try a little too hard to be serious, where they should have some of the silliness that makes you laugh.
Yeah, they're like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, as gruesome as it sounds, there's something kind of funny when stupid chick and guy are fucking in the barn, and then Jason puts a drill through them. you know, I know it's murder porn and it's horror and, but it's funny, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's like you didn't see this coming.
Yeah. It's absurd, you know, and that's what made it good. And then I just kind of lost, you know, I lost my way with that stuff, but you know, the time changed. That time is gone. You know, I own all of the Freddy Krueger movies. I still watch them on occasion. They're funny. They're fun. But, you know, Martin Scorsese needs to accept it. Movies about bank robbers and fucking criminals are kind of out now. You know, the only people that are watching his kind of movie are our kind of age. And there's less of us by the day. Right?
Yeah, because of COVID, of course.
Of course, they're all dying from COVID. You're exactly right, Neely.
Right.
You know, COVID makes you not want to watch fucking gangster movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's see here. Scorsese returns to the idea of streaming after heaping praise upon Fellini and also issued a warning to those within the industry who assume the movie business will fix the trend. It is fixed, you dumb shit. The trend has changed. The trend is dead, as Pantera famously said. In the movie business, which is now the mass visual entertainment business, the emphasis is always on the word business, and value is always determined by the amount of money to be made from any given property. In that sense, everything from Sunrise to LA Strata to 2001 is now pretty much wrung dry and ready for the art film swim lane on the streaming platform. Shut up. He's just that, in that sentence alone, he's just dead wrong. Dude, first of all, people don't even want to sit for 2 hours and watch a movie anymore. So it's not necessarily being hung out to dry as an art film. It's like, where's the rest of it? You know, the bottom line is you watch something like 2001 A Space Odyssey now, and it's boring because it's like they just try to hurry everything in so fast, where 2001 A Space Odyssey should be like a 5-part series. Now, in 2021, don't you think that it would be like a 5-part mini drama type of a deal?
Yeah, it definitely would be.
You know, everything. I'm watching a show right now called Brotherhood. It's on Showtime.
Yep.
And it has 3 seasons, and it's very much like a Scorsese type of a movie. It's, you know, it's two brothers. One's a congressman and one's a gangster. And it's the dichotomy of the two living in the same town. It's almost kind of like the Whitey Bulger story, sort of.
Well, there was a movie about that, wasn't there? It was one guy was a cop and his brother was a convict.
The Whitey movie, Whitey Bulger.
No. This was a movie. It was, I think it was called Brotherhood. The movie.
Okay. That might have been.
Yeah, and the one brother, he's a New York cop, and his brother is an ex-con.
Okay.
And his brother, after he gets released from jail, he goes back to his ex-con ways.
Right.
Or his, you know, his con ways. And his brother is aware of it, but because he's his brother, he doesn't want to bust him.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and I watched this a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it boils down to. So, you know, this New York cop trying to do the right thing, he knows his brother's up to his shenanigans, but he's like, you're my brother. I don't want to have to bust you, but sure, if you get out of line, I'm going to have to, but I, you know,
okay,
you're putting me in a bad position here.
Sure. Now, did you happen to catch that in the swim lane on your streaming platform? No,
I did not catch it in the swim lane.
What a dummy. Those of us who know the cinema and its history have to share our love and our knowledge with as many people as possible. And we have to make it crystal clear to the current legal owners of these films that they amount to much, much more than mere property to be exploited and then locked away. They are among the greatest treasures of our culture, and they must be treated accordingly.
Right.
Shut up.
It's a Picasso, goddammit.
No, and even the Picasso is just fucking paint on a fucking
canvas.
Off.
Yeah.
Shut up. It's all fucking nonsense, you dick. Like I said, you're no more important than the guy painting lines on the fucking street. No more important. Just paid better. Ugh, that's it with this guy, but what a turd bag. He's just a turd.
I hear you. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand what his point is, but, you know, I agree with you. It's just, it's leveled the playing field, and it's just like, I'm Scorsese, and who's this Drew Fortier making these independent films, and I'm lumped in with him? I've paid my dues, pal.
Why am I lumped in with a guy from a band called Megadeth?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Right.
Shut up.
Alan Killcaller, you're on the air.
See, I don't understand this.
You don't understand what?
Like, well, you know, shouldn't people just adjust to what's going on? I remember Oprah Winfrey reviewed a book once called Who Moved My Cheese, right? And like, I agree with you guys, that's just life. So what I don't understand is these guys that have all this money, and good on them if they do. That's awesome. I wish I had lots of money. That would be amazing. But surely they can bring their costs down so what they do is still profitable, rather than whinging and complaining that it's not the same as it used to be.
Well, I don't think it's a money issue. It's a prestige issue. It's not that the cost of a movie is $20 million as opposed to $5,000. It's a prestige thing. Well, I'm not getting the prestige I used to get as a cinema giant. Now my content is being streamed on the same platforms as a guy who makes an independent film for, you know, 50 cents with his friends. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, but so I still don't. I mean, what you're saying is just a pride and ego issue, really.
Well, that's it. That's exactly what it is. That's what Chris pointed out. It's a pride and ego, and, you know, kiss my ring. I'm movie royalty, and I deserve to be elevated above these, you know, these hacks who has a GoPro and decides that they want to make a movie.
Yeah, I don't get it. The other thing I was going to say to you guys is, and I don't know what you can do about this, but whenever you play music on the show, it's really distorted. So I don't know if the your level, your outputs are distorting or going into the red or whatever, but it's really distorted. And I don't know if you really, it's just that you guys are such sticklers for sound and everything. I've noticed that a lot, so I just thought I'd mention it.
All right, Tim, I'll look into it. I'll get my technical advisor on it immediately.
Hey, Tim, I got a question for you. Tim, can I ask you a question?
Sir. Yes, so, sir.
Tell me about Facebook in Australia.
Well, all I know is that they've taken all the news off. So, like, you can't go on there for news anymore. Like, there's no, you know, current affairs or anything like that on there. I mean, it hasn't really affected what I do on Facebook. But if you go there for news, I don't think you're going to be able to find it anymore, because Facebook said, "Oh, I think it's about these platforms don't want to pay for content." Is that what it's about?
Well, that is what it's about, but I'm curious, like, if, let's just say, I don't know, some famous building in Australia burned down, okay, which I'm just making something up, but if some famous building in Australia burned down, and you saw it on whatever news website they, you know, or TV website or whatever that's there, could you put that on your Facebook?
I don't know if you could put it on your Facebook, but I do know that they've banned all the, like, they've stopped all the you know, the television networks and I assume the radio networks as well from reporting any news on their Facebook page. So any you know, larger media outlet, they've taken all that stuff down.
So are people there, or like leaving Facebook in droves and going to Twitter or going to another platform or another thing, or what are they doing? If you know.
I don't really know, because I don't use Facebook for that stuff.
Okay.
You know, if I wanna watch the news, I'll just turn on the TV and watch the news, you know. And I don't there's certain channels that I won't watch because they're so politically biased here, just like in the States. It's fake news, you know. But I don't go to Facebook for all that stuff anyway, really. You know, it's a social network for me, and it's a music thing. So as long as it's not affecting me, I don't really care what they do.
Can you post news about your band? Like, hey, we're going to be playing at John's Cafe or whatever. Can you do that?
But that's not news. Like, in the sense of, you know, like current events or anything. That's just, as far as I'm aware at the moment, it doesn't affect people like, you know, musicians or anything. It only affects it if it's like newsworthy and you know, like there's a murder or some, you know, then Facebook, it won't be on Facebook.
Now, I know I'm asking you a bunch of questions about this, but it's just because you're there. I was reading that one of the things that's affected is, like, let's say there was a huge fire, like you guys have had in the past, like big fire that's, like, you know, like burns thousands of acres of land or whatever. You know, I was reading that would no longer be on Facebook, so people that use Facebook would not get any warning.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. I don't know if that's true, but if it's news, it probably wouldn't. In news in that regard, it probably wouldn't be on Facebook, because all the major television networks would report it, and because Facebooks are being such pussies, you know, and then they don't want to pay for content. Woe is me. I'm so rich, but no, we won't pay for content. That's very much the case. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, I'm going to give you some homework for the next time that we're on the air, which is 2 weeks from now. I want you to kind of look and maybe ask some friends or whatnot if they're now going to other platforms. And you should be curious about this yourself, because if a lot of people that you reach are no longer going to be on Facebook, then it might not be worth your time to release stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, I know, and I'm cool, but what happens with me, you know, because I'm very small time, I can kind of move anywhere at the drop of a hat.
Well, sure. I'm just curious if people are leaving or not. That's, you know, I have a reason.
Probably are.
And see, that's what I want to know is this the beginning of the end for Facebook? Has Facebook fucked themselves one too many times with doing this to an entire country? That's what I want to know.
Well, did you hear about what Google wants to do?
We talked about it briefly, but go ahead and tell me as you're hearing it.
Well, it's been on our news, and our prime minister has basically told them to get stuffed. Uh-huh. You know, but Google is saying that if they have to pay for news, that they're going to pull out of, well, firstly, they were saying that they pull out of Australia, and our prime minister, who is actually, I'm actually friends with him because he goes to our church, but our prime minister turned around and said, well, we don't give in to bullies, so basically get stuffed. Mm. And they said that they would leave the country, and now that and he stood up to them, and now they're saying they'll withdraw YouTube and all this stuff from Australia. Does Google own YouTube or something?
Google owns YouTube, but so what is the reaction to that now? Are people like checking out Rumble now because they're looking for an alternative video platform in case this happens? Are they using DuckDuckGo or Bing or something instead of?
I haven't heard about any of that. No.
Okay. Well, this is your homework, Tim. Since you're our on the ground reporter in Australia, find this all out for me.
Yep.
Find out everything. Get to work.
So, what do you want me to find out?
I want to find out what I want to know if people are leaving Facebook, and I want to know how they're getting ready should Google and YouTube leave Australia. Like what platforms they're looking to use.
Yep. I will. I'll research that. I probably won't be able to ring you. Oh no, yeah, that's okay, because you won't be there for 2 weeks, because I'm busy for the next week, so I'll be able to ring you on the 7th. That's fine.
All right. Well, get to it, Tim.
All right. Hail and kill. Bye.
Hail and kill. Bye.
Hail and kill. Bye. All right. Gave Tim some homework.
There you go. Handing out the assignments.
That's right. Well, you know, we're in a weird position that we actually have somebody on the ground.
Yeah, we do. Well, we actually have Ozzy Ace over there as well.
True.
And he always seems to be very involved with all kinds of shit.
Right.
Since he loves the Trump.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, yeah, it'd be good to hear from our Australian friends to tell us what's going on over there in the land down under.
Boy, they're getting fucked, huh?
Whatever.
You know what? And as we've said before, let it happen. Let Facebook kill itself. I'm all for it.
I am too. Social media would all go away.
It seems like it's really hitting critical mass at this point. From what I hear, Twitter, there's like 1/10 of the people that were conservative that are still on Twitter.
Yeah, because they're going to other places.
Yeah, they've gone to Gab or Parler or wherever, you know. So, or just they got off. They just got off and they're not going back. And so Twitter will end up dying. And if Facebook ends up dying too, Facebook's going the way of MySpace. I think we've all kind of known and accepted that for a while. So, you know, but boy, they're doing their best to just fucking cut their own throats now, aren't they?
Well, again, they're a branch of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
We have got to censor content.
Mm-hmm.
Can't allow anything that has, anything that people who are, what's the word I'm looking for? Dissent.
Yeah.
You can't allow dissent in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. But man, they're attacking whole countries, man. That's crazy.
Well, again,
they think they're bigger than a country.
Well, they are.
Yeah. I don't know. Good for that prime minister for fucking standing up to Google and telling them to go fucking pound.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we really need Google?
No, I mean, I think it's more important than you might think.
Well, it is. I'm not saying it doesn't have its place, but I'm saying, you know, something else will always take its place.
Right. Well, there's that. And there's already stuff, you know, DuckDuckGo or, you know, or Bing or, you know, not that I would tell anybody to use Bing. Bing is horrible, but DuckDuckGo works well. That's what I use on all my shit. It works pretty well.
There you go.
So.
There's other alternatives out there if you have to use these kind of things, whether it's social media or search engines or whatever. There are other alternatives if you don't want to use the big guys.
Right, exactly. So, all right, well, there we go.
Well, since we were talking about actors and their, you know, their disposition, and since this kind of all relates to Scorsese.
Yes.
Robert De Niro. He owns a restaurant, which if you listen to Howard Stern at any point 20 years ago.
Right.
He always talked about going to Nobu.
Yeah.
Well, Robert De Niro owns Nobu. Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
Well, he does.
Okay.
Well, anyway, these kind of stories, they're kind of a double-edged sword.
Okay.
One of the stories that, of course, the liberal media, be it CNN, MSNBC, you know, they were always after Trump. They're always trying to denigrate Trump, you know, make him out to be, you know, some kind of an asshole all the time.
Okay.
And one of the things that, you know, cropped up this week was that in Atlantic City, you know, the Taj Mahal, I guess they were knocking that down or something.
Okay.
Trump's old casino.
Yeah, I wasn't aware, but okay.
But that's what I heard. But anyway, you know, the question came up when I was visiting with Don over Christmas. You know, again, he likes to watch the CNN and the MSNBC and gets most of his news from those type of places. And it's, you know, Trump wasn't that great of a businessman. His casino in Atlantic City went broke. How do you bankrupt the casino, you know? And it's like, well, it really isn't a business practice. It isn't because of running a shitty business.
Right.
Because of all the other states in the East Coast all have casinos now.
Right.
You know, Atlantic City used to be sort of the Las Vegas of the East Coast.
Right.
But everybody's got casinos in their state now.
Yeah.
So would you travel to Atlantic City to go to a casino, or would you go to the one in your backyard?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you were a casino guy, which I know you're not.
I'm not, but.
But if you wanted to, you would just drive 30 minutes north and go downtown Cleveland to what's the casino up there?
I think it's called the Jack now.
Yeah, that's it. So you've got a casino within 25 minutes ride.
I have a casino within 5 minutes.
Oh, where's another one?
The Northfield one.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. How could I forget that?
Yeah, I mean, it's right there.
So would you go to Atlantic City or would you go to Northfield?
I'd go to Northfield.
If you had this hankering to gamble.
Yeah. If I wanted to just throw some money away, I'd go over to Northfield.
Yeah. You would never go to Atlantic City.
No, not anymore.
You know, and the thing here is within a 30 minute radius of me, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 casinos.
Well, weren't you like part of building one?
Well, I was in the planning stages of one, you know, back in 07, 08.
Yeah.
But the one that we were planning is now going to be the Hard Rock. It's supposed to open, this spring.
Okay.
So Hard Rock is actually building or has built a casino. So that's going to be number 6.
Okay. Wow.
So within 20 minutes, either going east or west.
Yeah.
I could be at a casino right now.
Yeah. So the last thing you're going to do is jump on a plane to go to Atlantic City.
I'm not going to go to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to explain that it was just like, this isn't a poor businessman's running a casino into the ground.
Right.
This is the changing environment among the states where people might have gone to Atlantic City, but they don't have to anymore.
Right.
That's all that boils down to. And it was just like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But if you listen to CNN or MSNBC, it was, see, Trump's a shitty businessman. He bankrupted the casino.
I wish I could be so shitty.
It's like, really? Is that really what happened because he's such a shitty businessman?
Don't you wish you could be so shitty?
Yeah, it's like, no, people aren't going to Atlantic City anymore.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with being a shitty businessman. It's just like people don't go to Atlantic City anymore. They go to their backyard. They go to their casino. Right within, like I said, within 20 minutes of me, there's this big giant casino hotel. It's called the Four Winds.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally 30 minutes to the east.
Right.
20 minutes before you get to that one is another one called the Blue Chip.
Okay.
That's like 20 minutes from here. And then if I go to the west, the other one is the Majestic Star.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Horseshoe. Then there's the new Hard Rock. Those are all within 20 to 30 minute drive of me from right here.
Sounds like when things open up, you'll have a lot of places to see some shows.
If I want to, sure. Yeah. In fact, our friend Nathan from Kentucky, I met up with him at the Horseshoe to see Megadeth.
Okay, cool.
You know, a few years ago.
Right.
So the point is that it wasn't because of poor business decisions and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what Scorsese is talking about. The business model has changed.
Yeah, it's a different business now.
States have their own casinos now. So the people who might have been inclined to go to, you know, Atlantic City because there was no gambling anywhere else, either you had to go to Las Vegas or go to Atlantic City, they don't have to do that anymore.
You think Vegas dies eventually because of
that? No. I don't think so. I think Vegas will always be, you know, an entertainment capital because, you know, they got so much to offer.
And they're the first.
Yeah. You know, and it is an oasis getaway, and there is just so much to do in Las Vegas. I mean, hell, not that you and I care, but, you know, obviously the former Oakland Raiders now have a big, beautiful stadium there.
Yeah, that stadium looks cool as fuck.
It is. It's massive. It's a beautiful thing. But you know, it's not. You know, Las Vegas isn't just casinos now. I mean, it offers all kinds of entertainment. They've got, you know, you could go over there and do race car driving. You know, they got this race car track outside of the city where you could go, you know, get into a actual race car and burn around the track.
Right.
Or you could take these helicopter rides, or you could go to the football game, or you could go to, you know, they've got all these entertainment things out there that it's just endless.
Right.
You know, so it's an entertainment destination out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously the casinos are, you know, a big draw and very elegant. And boy, I tell you what, just in the last 2 years, they've built some really, really massive hotels out there.
Sure.
You know, the old days of the gangster hotels are over, you know, the Flamingo and the Sand, and, you know, obviously Caesar's Palace is still there, and that's expanded out. The Stardust, which, you know, was basically the hotel that Casino was based on.
Right.
You know, all those old hotels are gone.
Right.
You know, but I watch this guy on YouTube periodically. He lives in Las Vegas.
Okay.
He's a transplant to Las Vegas from the East Coast, and he's a videographer.
Okay.
And what he's done is he spends a night in every casino hotel on the strip.
Okay.
Which there are literally hundreds.
Sure.
And he makes like a 15 or 20 minute video about staying at that hotel, and he shows you all the amenities, the room and the gambling floor and the amenities and the food choices and all this other stuff.
Sure.
And Cosmopolitan, which is really a high-end hotel out there, he booked a room there, and here's the funny thing. He booked a room there to do his video vlog, you know, video thing.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it was the weirdest goddamn thing, and he filmed the whole thing. The security came to his room and asked him if he had any video equipment with him, and he said, yeah, I have my camera here and this and that. Well, we're going to have to confiscate that.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. They told him that the reason they do this is that for some reason, I don't know what it is, if it's the Cosmopolitan or if it's just their policies or whatever, but they said that people go there to film porn.
Nice.
And so people come in there with their professional video equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are aware of it, they basically, confiscate it. Well, anyway, this guy did this whole video about how and if he didn't, you know, give up his video equipment to the security, he had to leave. He was being ejected from the property.
Jeez.
So he chose to leave. He says, like, I'm not going to give you my cameras and stuff. Fuck you.
Yeah, of course.
And so he left the premises, and then he called and said, hey, I got ejected from the property. I want to get my money back because I didn't stay here. And they were just like, no, you forfeit your money and all this and that.
Of course they did.
So he made a video about it, and he showed the security coming to his room and banging on the door and, you know, basically demanding that he give them his video equipment or he had to leave the property. Yeah. And so he talked about that. Well, his video went viral.
Of course.
And so the president of Cosmopolitan reached out to him and apologized.
Okay.
And gave him one of the suites at the Cosmopolitan to do his video thing.
Okay.
For a night. $15,000 a night.
Jesus.
Gave him the room for free.
Wow.
And copped him dinner and all this other shit.
As long as he took down the arrest video.
Yes, he did that. And he did a nice video and basically said, yeah, they made amends. And this guy sent him like gift bags to his room with like merchandise and, you know, gave him first class treatment and all this other stuff. And, you know, this room was just incredible. You know, if you watched, you know, like Hangover, they got the villa at the Caesar's Palace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said that the room that they gave him, like I said, goes for $15,000 a night.
Jesus.
And he got to stay in that room for free.
Man, why would you even stay in a hotel in a room for 50, even if you're rich, $15,000 a night?
Yeah, well, you know, think about it. If you have, let's just say, $10 million.
Yeah, I know, but it just.
Well, again, this goes back to the Scorsese thing. It's the prestige.
Yeah.
Well, look at me. I got the $15,000 a night suite. Ah, chump change.
Yeah. Look at how great I am here in this fucking chump villa here.
Exactly. Well, getting back to Scorsese and De Niro. Despite being worth an estimated $500 million, Robert De Niro took coronavirus money from the government to pay for expenses at his various restaurants across the globe, including his London-based luxury restaurant Nobu.
London?
Yeah.
All right.
The Daily Mail reported on De Niro's expensive London eatery, Nobu, to which celebrities flock when they're in the UK capital. According to the paper, the 77-year-old star took enough government relief money to cover 80% of the high-end restaurant's operating costs. UK government officials reveal the award of the coronavirus relief money to De Niro's restaurant. The government report notes the restaurant has been closed since March 21st of 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic in the UK and reopened on May 6th of 2020 to operate in providing a limited restaurant service that can be operated by the company under the recommended health and safety guidelines imposed during the COVID-19 pandemic, such as the food takeaway service.
Okay.
Nobu told the government that it expected a significant decrease in its profitability due to the materially reduced revenues in 2020. John O'Connell, the CEO of the watchdog group Taxpayers Alliance, reminded readers that the relief money, while helpful to struggling companies, ultimately comes from taxpayers, and support should only be sought if it's really needed. In light of how Nobu's owner is worth, in light of how much Nobu's owner is worth, critics like O'Connell questioned why taxpayers should have to step in and pay his employees when it seems likely that De Niro could easily afford the cost out of pocket. Now, see, I have a problem with that.
I do too.
De Niro does not own the company or the restaurant. De Niro owns the company that owns the restaurant.
Right.
And he doesn't finance this out of his personal pocket.
Right.
You You know, so it's not like De Niro is pocketing this money personally.
It's a business.
It's a business.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. You know, he should be. I don't know about the London-based Nobu, but the ones in the States, he should absolutely get fucking PPP money or EIDL or whatever.
Yeah, well, see, this goes back to the whole thing. Trump doesn't own the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
Right.
It's the Trump Corporation that operated that thing.
Right.
You know, but again, it's see Trump fucked people over. Look at him. He fucked them over, you know. Okay. Right. But this is what they're trying to do to this De Niro, and I disagree with this too.
Yeah.
No. De Niro tried to fuck over the taxpayers bad. He's worth $500 million himself, and he can't pony up the money to keep his restaurant afloat.
Even if he did own all of it, it's not his personal responsibility to come out of his personal pocket for a business if he's incorporated it.
Correct.
If he's turned it into an S corp or a corporation, which I'm sure he has, then it's not his problem to come out of his personal money when the money's down. Now,
yeah, and he's rich, man.
Now, look, I'll be the first one to admit I do that when my businesses struggle, but that's because I'm a small business.
Right.
You know, I don't have the capital. Believe me, if the CMS was making me $10 million a year, I wouldn't be using those $10 million to fucking bail out Pinball PA.
Right, of course.
I would have a budget, and this would be the budget, and that's it. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong on this. As much as I think he's a cunt too, he's not wrong on this.
No, I agree. I completely agree. De Niro was also reported as having accepted 14 loans totaling upwards to $28 million in coronavirus relief funds from the Trump administration's Paycheck Protection Program. De Niro
didn't take that, did he? He didn't mind taking that money, did he? Even though he wanted to punch him in the face.
And called him a dog, and he was a scumbag.
Yeah, but he put $28 million in your fucking company's pocket, dick.
Yeah. De Niro was reportedly reporting as lamenting the need to slash his spending. It was also reported that he cut his ex-wife Grace Hightower's American Express limit from $100,000 to $50,000 a month.
How is she going to survive?
$50,000 a month?
How can you survive with only $50,000 a month on your credit card?
Holy shit. De Niro's Nobu restaurant, co-owned with film producer Mir Tepper, has outlets on five continents, and the star claims that the corona has put his business interests at risk, as with everybody. How about the mom and pop shop that only has one restaurant? They've worked at for 30 years.
How about the pinball place that can't get any money because you took $28 million, you dick?
Yeah. The Raging Bull star regularly attacked former President Trump and his supporters during an appearance on MSNBC.
Oh, good.
The Last Word in June, for instance, De Niro insisted that I certainly am looking forward to the president ending up in jail.
Oh, shut up.
In jail.
Shut up.
In May, the actor told BBC Newsnight that Trump is a lunatic, unlike you, who has no regard for how many Americans die of the coronavirus.
Well, how many has Joe killed?
Yeah. How many has Cuomo killed?
Yeah.
How about all those corona people he put into these nursing homes?
Yeah. What's that number? 11,000 or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He should be in jail.
And that guy, that's from your state there, Bobby.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Shh. You're not allowed to talk about that. Shh.
Well, I'm talking about it.
Nope. Look over here. Don't look over there. Look over here.
We're not on YouTube.
Fuck nope. You. Don't look. Nope. Look over here. Don't look over here. Over here. Yeah, right. Over here. No. Don't look over. No. Over here. Look over here. Don't look over here. Is there something in this hand that I could put in that hand that'll make you forget what's in this
hand? Exactly.
Also, last month, De Niro attacked the 74 million Americans who voted for Trump in 2020, saying that their vote made him angry.
So what?
I'm De Niro, goddammit.
So what?
Kiss my rig.
Fuck you.
So that's it.
I'd like to punch him in the fucking face.
Oh, there you go.
Him and his fucking 5-inch fucking heels that he has to wear so he doesn't look like he's 4'10". Fuck you, mini man.
Yeah. Yeah, fucky.
Yeah.
Oh, again, it's always with these self-righteous dicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always this anger and outrage, but yet they're the worst of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed his movies, but he's still a fucking bag of shit.
Yes, I agree.
So fuck him.
I agree.
I'll still watch his movies though.
All right. Well, let's take a break and then wrap up the show.
Sounds like a plan.
Anything you want to hear?
Let's go with how about Invisible by Anthrax?
Okay. Anthrax.
Since we did hair metal and then we did power metal, let's do sort of thrash metal.
All right. Invisible, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sound of White Noise.
I got it. All right. Well, we're going to play some Anthrax. We'll play a few tunes. We'll come back, wrap up the show.
All right. Boy,
this one, as we always say, man, this one fucking flew by.
Sure did.
So anyway, here it is. It's Anthrax exclusively here.
On your classic. All right, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And you know what else is a lot of fun? The CMS Podcast Network. That's right, cmspn.com is the address. Make sure you go over there. Make sure you watch the episodes there. You listen to the episodes there. And maybe you even just subscribe so it's delivered to your phone, to whatever podcasting software you use. But do it from cmspn.com. Once again, cmspn.com, cmspn.com, cmspn.com. We'll see you next time, fucks.